our scripture. It's reading from the First Corinthians, the 15th chapter. You find that on the back of your bulletin, where Paul is writing to the Corinthian people about some things he's been talking to them about. He said, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "then to the 12, then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one whose birth was unusual, he also appeared to me." And then he went on a few more sentences, and he said, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain." Or another translation says, our proclamation is empty. "And so is your faith." That same one says, "And so your faith is also empty. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified wrongly about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone." And then he comes in with the truth. "But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word, of our hearing of it. Amen. As you know, there are many significant days that have occurred in the history of humanity. I could review hundreds of them, but I won't go too far back. So just, if you will, think about the important days in American history, and that helps us to realize the difference that one day can make. July the 4th, 1776. The course of American history was changed when 13 colonies declared their independence from British rule. On April 12th, 1861, the internal disunity that had been growing in America began to be in earnest with the firing on Fort Sumter and the beginning of the Civil War. On December 7th, 1941, Japanese planes bombed Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, making a decisive day in international affairs. And on July 20th, 1969, another significant day was recorded when an American walked on the moon. And then on September 11, 2001, terrorists flew planes into the World Trade Towers in New York City and into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and into a field in Pennsylvania, killing thousands and beginning a new era that has spread throughout the world, a horrific war on terror. And I haven't even mentioned August the 15th, 2006, marking for Metropolitan Boscadel, a full century of witness and ministry by the sweet people on a little white church on this hill. Well, these singular days, as well as many other numerous specific days, have made a difference. Many significant days occurred in Jesus' life as well. It was a monumental day when Jesus came to Bethlehem as a baby. It was a significant day when Jesus was baptized by John. The Friday of Jesus' crucifixion has been a day analyzed and discussed through the years as one of the main days of history. It was a day that uniquely affected what became Christianity. Then Paul and various other New Testament writers carefully recorded the account of Jesus' resurrection day. He rose again the third day. The fourth verse of 1 Corinthians 15. That third day marks a complete difference. A day representing choice. A day signifying the choice of all who believe on Him. For all of mankind. For all of eternity. It changed the bad news of Jesus' crucifixion to the good news of deliverance, of movement from this earthly limited life to heaven's unlimited life. And so once again this morning, using the ideas of Paul, let's take a few, I think significant moments to reflect upon the different distinctives that the day of resurrection makes for us, all of us who have chosen the choice to believe. We can review the record of past years of factual history. We've just done a little of that. We can bring up to date in our own lives today a historical reality. That third day authenticated the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a historical event. This day really negates any kind of factual consideration or even negates the concept of the resurrection from the domain of philosophical speculation. Takes it out of that and puts it in the empire of factual truth, historical truth. The third day is celebrated every Sunday by many, many Christians as, with all honesty, as a reality. To highlight the contrast of the deliberation of whether or not did this really happen, Paul speculated on what might be, with the possibility that there is no such thing as a resurrection from death, verse 13. For only then, he says, is it possible that Christ himself did not rise. Verse 13 says, if there is no resurrection, then Christ himself would not have risen. Verse 14. And for emphasis, he repeats that false speculation again in verses 16 and 17. For if the dead are not raised, he says, not even Christ has been raised. And the absolute consequence of what is, if that, God forbid, was the case, the consequence, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. If this day had not happened, there would be no gospel story. Nothing meaning what the gospel means. A good news. The gospel, the good news, simply stated, is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. The first two facts, namely Jesus' death and his burial, those two facts do not complete the story. His resurrection on the third day completes the story. So what a horrible possibility Paul lays before us. What a devastating possibility. What a conjecture. If Christ had not risen, there would be nothing to our faith. There would be no such thing as a unique Christian faith. Such a concept would represent nothing but emptiness, nothing but worthlessness. The 2,000 years plus of existence of the worldwide religion of Christianity would be futile and ineffectual. But Christ did rise. Christianity is trustworthy. It's reliable. The Bible is true. The third day is that historical reality of verse 20 of our text for this morning. But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead. Jesus' resurrection as an observable living being, seen and spoken with and eating meals with by over 500 reputable people in Jerusalem and Emmaus on that third day. And the following 40 days in Galilee and elsewhere. And then on the last of those 40 days of such encounters, seen with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. That reality, that truth, makes all the difference in the world. Christ's resurrection to new life is a recorded historical fact that no other religion can claim, indeed does claim. Christ is the only one. And you know, the annual celebration of Easter is not the only way that Christians experience Christ's resurrection. Rather, we who believe in him and have that same knowledge and reality that Paul wrote about to the Colossian Christians. He wrote this, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We experience that. Christ's living presence every moment of every day. Christ in me, Christ in you. Jesus promised always to be with his people, guiding us, keeping us in his care until we leave this earth to join him in our own resurrected bodies in heaven. Promises that we now experience day by day. Yes, Jesus is with me today. Yes, Christ is in me now. And all of that because of the historical reality of the third day following the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ of Nazareth of Galilee. Also, that third day resurrection to life of the crucified Jesus is a theological necessity. The third day, the day of Jesus' resurrection, makes all the difference in the world, in this world of humanity's redemption. For a person to have full assurance of salvation, the resurrection of Jesus is an absolute, irreplaceable necessity. I'll take you back to verse 17 one more time. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. When Jesus rose from the grave, an entirely new perspective was put on the crucifixion. Paul spoke of a theological reality of what is real, not only to us, but even more importantly, within the reality of God, in the theological reality. If Christ had not risen, we would still be in our sins. And unredeemed sin means that we would remain unreconciled with God, who has no tolerance for sin. This would mean that Jesus died. Well, that's an irrefutable historical reality of the crucifixion, but also would necessarily carry the theological impact that thereafter, a continued to be dead Jesus would have been powerless to defeat the final enemy of mankind, death. If Christ would have remained in that Judean tomb, all of humanity would thereafter have had no salvation from the ultimate penalty of sin. Mm-hmm. What is that ultimate penalty of sin? Eternal separation from the Almighty and perfect God. That's theology, friends. But that's only a would have been that never happened. Paul only wanted to draw the stark possibility of a would have been that happened not. It absolutely happened not. Because, hallelujah, praise the Lord, however you want to say it, Jesus did in fact rise from the grave. The theological truth which guarantees to the world that salvation is complete for those who accept Jesus and his redemption. You see, the life and ministry of Jesus comprised one phase of Jesus' work for sinful humanity. It was a blessed phase for which we are all grateful. And we're completely improved people as human beings by his ministries and his teachings. His death involved another phase, the preemptive, redemptive sacrifice that could be made by no other. But if those two phases had been the termination of God's gift to us, Jesus of Nazareth would have been only in some ways a bit better than some other religious great men of history. You see, it is the reality of his resurrection that was the essential for the other two phases to have their full meaning, the fullness of God's greatest gift to us. I know I'm being somewhat repetitive, but it bears repeating over and over and over again. If a decayed body and bones of Jesus of Nazareth still lies in a tomb outside the walls of Old Jerusalem, we should just forget salvation. We should just disregard the Bible as the Word of God because we would have no good news. But that's not the truth. We know with certainty that Jesus did rise from the dead on the third day. We accept that by faith, and we also have the facts. And through that, we have the assurance of the forgiveness of all sin. And have the assurance of eternal life with God in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. The risen Jesus triumphed forever over every last foe on that third day as a testimony to his lordship and as a theological necessity of the gospel, a theological necessity that the good news is the good news. Now, since I've presented the historical and theological perspectives of the difference made by a day, the third day, I'll go one more step and give you this. It is an eschatological certainty. I saved that one for last because I know all of you are fascinated by eschatology. You know the meaning of eschatology, don't you? Well, you really do, even though you may not consider yourself as best friends with the definition of that word. I'll give you Webster's dictionary definition. Eschatology, Webster says, covers various Christian doctrines concerning the second coming, the resurrection of the dead, and the last judgment. See, I told you you knew what it means. That's what eschatology means. That said, that defined, eschatological certainty means that the third day, resurrection day, assures every believer that there will be a perfected eternity with the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus makes the complete difference between glorious hope and, on the other hand, dismal despair and hopelessness about existence beyond the grave. Because Jesus rose from the dead, Christians know we will be raised from death. Because Jesus rose bodily, we are eschatologically assured that we will be granted resurrected bodies for heavenly eternity. That's eschatology. That's eschatological certainty by the third day, my friends. A somewhat famous playwright of the 20th century, Eugene O'Neill, portrayed the truth of Christ's victory over death in a play, Lazarus Laughed. It was written in 1923. You don't know that play, do you? Well, the play unfortunately is not well known, perhaps because it requires 40 actors portraying over 100 different roles. And I say unfortunately not well known because some people who don't give much thought to understanding the eschatological certainty of the Christian faith. You know, they don't think about resurrection or second coming of Christ or the last judgment. Lots of those folks will happily go to a Broadway play, and they might just have their spirit persona stirred by a play like this, even though they've not been in church to hear the good news. Lazarus Laughs is about is a story of how Lazarus, and this is, of course, a playwright story, about how Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, left Bethany and journeyed to Greece. In Athens, Lazarus met Gaius Caligula, who'd been chosen by the emperor Tiberius to be his successor. And Caligula was a tyrannical emperor. On one occasion in the play, he severely reprimanded Lazarus and threatened to kill him for teaching people to laugh about death. Lazarus looked squarely into Caligula's face and he answered, "Death is dead, Caligula. Death is dead." O'Neill knew, and in his play, Lazarus presents that truth. When Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated death. Go again to verse 4. "He was raised on the third day, according to scriptures," Paul wrote. Wrote that not in a play, but as a historical, theological, eschatological fact. That day makes all the difference. As you know, the Easter day we celebrate every year is now about 3 years, 3 weeks behind us this year. But as committed Christians, we've learned the joy of celebrating every Sabbath day as Resurrection Day. The Christ who rose on Resurrection Day wants to be central in your life today. You know, I never know completely who I'm sharing the good news with on a particular Sunday. And thus I can say, if you are one for whom Christ's resurrection hasn't become a truth for you, not yet, then I can assure you that Jesus wants to come into your life today. This is for you. If you know that you are there this day, this is for you this day that can be the beginning of many glorious days in your life. Allow the risen Christ to come into your life today. Let this be the day. This day be the day that the third day, Resurrection Day, brings new life into you. And I ask you now, you know if I'm speaking to you, give us who have allowed the third day, who have allowed Resurrection Day to be the most important day of our lives, give us today the privilege of all rejoicing with you.